Hello, everyone, and welcome to Healing Wednesday's Circle of 12. I'm Lee Carroll.
And I'm Monica Marani.
And together we bring this program every single week. However, this is our once a month free program, and this one is open for everyone to watch, and I want to welcome you, especially if you have never seen us before in this particular venue and doing this.
Yes.
And we have memberships as well. Now, the members, they get a little more. They get this every single week. And those of you who are watching on YouTube especially realize this is once a month. I just want to take a moment to tell the members welcome. And for those of you who are not members, to let you know that membership includes three more of these programs than you're getting at the free. And also, you get free replays basically forever. In other words, there's no limit on the number of replays that you can watch if you're a member. And there's also some specials. You get some audios. Perhaps in the future, we'll even have some discounts on some of the other things that Monica and I do and some of the shows we have. Easy to subscribe. Just go to cryonmasters.com, and it's just right in front of you, because this is, I would say, our flagship show. Now, I say this every time. If it's your first time, I'll say it again. Streaming, it's different. It's different than watching a video on YouTube. And because of the stream, it requires just a little more browser energy and all these things. Just bottom line is this: if it stutters, if it starts and stops, if the sound isn't right, it could be happening from our side, from your side, it doesn't matter. We've designed this to be a good program and easy to watch, but in some parts of the world, there are issues. So here's the instructions. Just turn it off. If you're on YouTube and you're having trouble right now, I will say that within a day or so, the replay will be there for free for you. You can see it again. If you're a member, you know it's going to be in your member portal. So don't be frustrated. Just turn it off and come back and watch the replay in smooth in its entirety. All right. Hi. That's just what I call that is housekeeping, is when we say the same thing every week.
I'm happy for you to do it, Lee. You do a really good job.
This is our first of the month program. Mm-hmm. We've got a great guest coming up in
Absolutely.
Just a little bit. I mean, terrific. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to talk about that yet. We will in a minute. However, this is the point where we do some questions and answers.
I know. What I love about the Circle of 12 is it's the beautiful community that it has created. So if this is your first time, it's not just welcome to us, but welcome to the community. And it's filled with so many beautiful old souls. And let's get to the questions that these beautiful old souls have been asking us. I've chosen three questions that all have a similar theme. So here we have Ulf Roger from Sweden. His question is asking, I've been listening to the Circle of 12 since the beginning, but I feel that I am not progressing at all with any kind of healing to the point of giving up. Any advice? Then we have Shiwaya, I hope I say your name correctly. She's from Texas in the US. How do you keep from being discouraged when you intend to heal and you just keep getting worse and worse? And then finally, in this group of three questions, we have Christine from Washington State in the US. Some people report mystical experiences in the Facebook group, and Cryon talks about how different that feeling is on the other side of the mist. This is not occurring for me. I'm starting to feel resistance to coming to the meditations, as I'm not able to feel different on the other side of the mist. What advice can you give me? Lee, I think you realize the importance of why I've chosen those three questions.
Yes, and thank you for that. We have several things I want to say right away. Mm. We tend to group these questions and look for similar questions. So this is an answer to three questions. That was three different people with actually three different experiences, but they're related to basically, why isn't it working? Or why am I not feeling certain kinds of things? In our selections of our questions, not only are we going to group them so you get a lot of answers for a lot of people with one, you know, with one session, but also so I can take the time to answer it succinctly and correctly the best I can. When we set up the Healing Wednesdays, we knew from the outset that there would be some who are healed and are feeling this, and the healing is from you know, lack of peace, and it's all manner of things besides the body. The Healing Wednesday is an experience. It's not just for the healing of certain kinds of things that you would have wrong with you. It's for full body experience. When we set it up, what Kryon said to me very early on, he said, this will be a very different experience for very many people. But the fact is, it's been extremely successful. And when I say successful, I mean the people are receiving what we are trying to give. It's changing lives. And yet, there are always those, like these questions, who are not actually feeling or getting or actually having the healing. So this is what I want to tell you. I hope this truly helps you, because the Healing Wednesday is not for a body part. It's not for a disease. It is a full body experience. I want to give you the ABC of this. We had a facilitator on our show, and I'm sorry I didn't remember the exactly one it was, but several now have said this, and it was profound. Let me tell you what was said. Healing of the body is a byproduct of the compassion and high consciousness thinking that you'll receive on a regular basis as you get used to the Healing of 12 experience. You have to start with love and compassion, and it seems like the rest simply comes along. There is something else, and I don't want to get into this deeply right now, but parts of your subconscious do not want you to be here. I've experienced this. It's an actual, when you start dropping into your heart and you start going here, part of your subconscious says, oh, this isn't going to work, you know? And so you already have the seeds of doubt being planted. And they say, well, it's not logical that you're going to feel this. I think you know this. So you're going to have to get used to these kinds of feelings. And I'm going to go there in just a moment, because you're not battling necessarily the dark side. We're battling all of the things that we've learned from the time we grew up of why this shouldn't work. So that's also part of it. Now, how do you get through that? The answer, I'll give it yet again. Don't concentrate intellectually on what's wrong with you. You have something you've been working on. So you go to the Healing of 12 and you cross the bridge, and right away you're thinking, well, I'm hoping this is going to work now, and doing all of those things that you've done before. But you're concentrating intellectually on that. Instead, the idea of crossing the bridge is that you drop into your heart. You got to drop the idea of you know, why you're there specifically, or for the disease, or for the uncomfort that you're having, and instead the overview is more important than anything else. Concentrate on the love and the compassion. You deserve to be here. You're loved by the Creator. You start concentrating on that and let that be the first thing you do, and quite often the rest is the byproduct. I want to tell you a story. I told you this, I try to answer these completely. I want to tell you a story. Not only did I personally have this experience, and I've talked about this, I think I had a Facebook Live where I talked about this, where I had the healing from multiple surgeries of my eyes, and I just kept looking and saying, when is it going to work, when is it going to work? And when I finally surrendered to this concept of the violet flame with Saint Germain, it all straightened out. And that was a byproduct. I had a wonderful experience with a man named Gary Liljegren. Now, he is the Marshmallow Message Man. He's been my friend now for many, many years. He holds the record on how many times he's hosted Kryon, both in Georgia and Florida, over 21 times, I think. And we've done a blurb on him, but I don't expect you to know him, but I want to tell you the story. When I first met Gary in Florida, and this was the first time, Gary has a cane, he walks with it, and we went to, I think it was Denny's or something like that. It wasn't very extravagant. And we're sitting at the table, and we started talking, and he discussed his life with me, and we started going back and forth, and we talked about crying and the changes that were made, and he talked about the changes that he experienced, and I could tell we almost like choked up because we were talking, you know, guy to guy about some very compassionate, loving life changes that he had gone through at this point in his life. It was a great meeting. This is where I fell in love with Gary, and he's been my long-term friend. So we leave the restaurant, we're going to the parking lot, and we're still talking, and I look at Gary, and I said, did you forget something? And he then, it dawned on him, he left his cane in the restaurant. I even forget whether he went back for it, but he had cleared completely and totally. The reason for the cane was gone. All we did was drop into the heart, talk about compassionate things, changes of life, and the healing came with it. This is what I'm talking about. And so more than just a place that you hurt or perhaps a disease, even a big one, these are the things that come also with the bigger package. So I'm encouraging all of you to understand that this is the thrust. It's not going for the individual healing of a certain thing or you're giving affirmations for a thing. It's more of the bigger package. And it comes with love and compassion and understanding that you are part of a much, much larger picture. You deserve to be here. You're loved by this, the creative source. And all of that, when you start to put it together in the bigger, I would say, scheme of things, then starts to work with your cells. Then these things that you do, like talking to your cells and all, is part of many things that you are doing instead of the one thing you think you came for.
Such a beautiful, heartfelt answer, Lee. I want to encourage everyone who has been feeling discouraged or feeling that they haven't had that healing. Listen to what Lee said again and again, because your efforts are so valiant. They are seen by Spirit, by God. And keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You are doing a fantastic job. Just by even making the attempt, it is so recognized and so seen by Spirit. So please don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep on going. And be open to whatever experience that it's going to be. So with that in mind, let's move into a meditation and hear more from Kryon. Perhaps there's some wisdom that's going to be shared to help those who are feeling discouraged. So particularly now, if that is you and you are feeling a little discouraged or you are feeling on the point of giving up, let's just suspend time right now. Suspend the thought of giving up on anything and just place your hands on your heart and close your eyes and take a deep breath. Allow your body to relax. Feel all the tension drain away. And I want to remind you that there is nothing to do. All you are being asked in this moment is to surrender yourself into the arms of Spirit. Feel yourself being wrapped in a bubble of benevolence, love, support, and allow yourself to accept and receive this loving support that is here for you. Allow yourself to feel connected with every other soul on the planet who has tuned in to this message. They too are supporting you and cheering you on You can do it. You can do this. You can accept the love of God. You can do that. So just relax a little deeper. There's nothing to do. Simply sit and receive the message from Kryon and the unconditional love that is being poured forth on you now.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. We come yet again with a message that is broken into four parts, hearable by all. This will be part one of four, and the subject is different for each part. The subject for this month, for these four meetings, will be spectacular controversial truths. Spectacular controversial truths. Things have changed in this last year or so for the messages of Kryon. And the things that have changed the most is that more are receiving them in a different way than ever before. Whereas in an older time, the media was written, today it is less that way. And more of the media that you are seeing and hearing at the moment. Therefore, there are so many who have not heard or read the messages that have been absolutely the foundation of everything that I've wanted to give you. So to some, this is going to be a profound review of truths that have been given now for 30 years. And some will hear this for the first time. Others will hear it again, but differently. Every truth I wish to give you in these four meetings is spectacular. It is spectacular because it changes the very, I would say, foundation of who you think you are, of what you've been told. The second part is controversial to the max, because what we are going to say in these truths are not necessarily what you are taught in your culture. And so it becomes controversial to so many. In fact, most. And the third is, it's a truth. Dripping with love, compassion, reality, it's a truth. The first one I wish to give you is the one that we have given you over and over. But this time, in this truth, in this message, I want you to cognize it completely. If you wish to, if you can. This spectacular truth is this: the creative source of your soul, that which you call God or Spirit, whatever name you have given, this planet of yours believes in this creative source, this God, universally almost. 80% or more of humanity believes in the afterlife. They understand that there is a soul, that there had to be a creative source of that soul. And then here come all of the doctrines that talk about how this works, how to worship it. What does God think about all these things? And there becomes a setup for a relationship or not, or knowledge, perhaps, of the creative source. Here's what I want to tell you. The spectacular, controversial truth of all time is this. This creator of your soul, this God, Spirit, this beautiful, compassionate, spectacular energy does not judge you and does not punish you. Did you hear that? Listen to that again. Beautiful creative source filled with love, all that is, that created your soul and put you in the image of itself, this creative source does not judge you, does not punish you. And yet, the majority of the doctrines of this planet have ignored the fact that God does not think like a human. God does not think at all. Thinking itself is a process that you do. God simply is an energy that is overwhelmingly forgiving and loving beyond anything that you can imagine. And what you have done instead, you being the collective you on this planet, is made God into literally a dysfunctional father. Dysfunctional, I'll tell you why in a moment, because it is much less logical or functional than you are. Listen. You've had this beautiful source creator, according to the doctrines of the planet, so many of them, put you on this planet almost as babes in the woods, give you instructions, back away, and then according to your doctrine, humanity has done something wrong. It did not obey the instructions. And so immediately, this free choice you've had has been judged according to your doctrine. Not only has that free choice been judged, but punished. So therefore, because of a dysfunction, you might say, of one or two humans in your doctrine, in the front of your story, all humanity is then going to be sent and punished to bad places. Unless, of course, you do something. And that something is then hooked to what you call the belief in masters or the belief in processes or things. So if you do certain kinds of things, you can escape the punishment. This is what you're being told and what you've always been told. Not only that, if you don't do these things, this beautiful creator of your soul, built in your image, is going to then take you to a horrible place, give you over to a devilish idea of being tortured every day, burned alive, skinned. You think that I'm making this up? Just take a look at the paintings in some of your churches depicting this. How do you think that makes the children feel who go into the chapels and see these paintings of the horror if they don't behave? I'm going to ask you yet again, do you think this came from God or do you think this came from men? And the answer is obvious. It's not even spiritually logical that God would set you up to punish you. Controversial? Oh, yes, because it flies in the face of almost all of the doctrines that you've ever had. Almost all of them. You better behave. It almost equates to a dysfunctional father, and that is this. As parents, Mom, let me ask you, how much do you love your children? The love of a parent for a child is the greatest love that is on the planet. It just is. Mom, if your child makes a mistake, what do? You pick them up, you wipe their tears, they try again, you give them the instructions again and again. Even a wayward child, even one who hasn't listened and goes off to do things that are awful for their lives, you love them anyway. You don't take them and look them in the eye and say, well, you failed, and because of that, I'm going to torture you now. I told you. You don't do it. Did you think the creator of the universe would do it? There are even so many stories and so many scriptures and so many allegories trying to give you the information. The prodigal son, the story, the parable where you have one son does everything right, one son does everything wrong, and then when they get home, the father gives both of them the same party, basically. What does that tell you about that Creator? Loved beyond measure, no matter what. There are those humans who say, wait a minute, there's got to be a price to pay if you're a bad person. I will tell you this, in this 3D world, as human beings, in your societies, there is. And then you handle it the way you do. But there is a grander plan that has nothing to do with what you do with free choice on the consciousness of this planet. There is a plan. There are other experiences to come in some of the other channels I'm going to give you that show you that there's a cycle here. There are ways of working the puzzle between dark and light without punishing and torturing every soul who is here who doesn't do something right. I say it again. The biggest, spectacular truth. You are loved beyond measure. You deserve to be here. Did you hear that? And you will not be punished if you don't toe the line with some kind of process or climb certain stairs or say certain words or worship some prophet. Controversial, very, very much. Do you understand the logic, the spiritual logic, that God loves you enough that when he gives you free choice, you really do have free choice? Free choice to develop this planet in any way you see without intervention at the moment of some of these choices. There are many who ask crying, why don't you tell us who to vote for? Why don't you tell us about this or that? And I will say yet again that these particular choices shape your humanity. They shape your culture. This is what free choice is all about. What are you going to do? And since 2012, you've made such a spectacular choice to stay and start the light coming up. You are loved even more than before. There is no hell, dear ones. There is no punishment, dear ones. Only love, only compassion. Controversial enough? Think about it. Spectacular. And so it is.
And very gently, in your own time, you may slowly open your eyes if you've had them closed. And just bring your awareness back into your body, back into the room. Relax your shoulders, relax all the parts of your body. And we are so delighted to welcome to this next section an amazing speaker. Lee, I know you've been really excited for this.
Ever since she said yes, I was jumping up and down because I know she's very, very busy. And I'm hoping a lot of people don't know about Lynn McTaggart because this will then be a revelation for them. And it's just exciting.
Absolutely. So let's just check. Lynn, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Great to see you guys.
Yes, and we're speaking to you, I know, all the way from the UK. I'll just start this now. Lynn McTaggart is one of the central voices in the New Consciousness Movement, an award-winning journalist, author of 7 books, including worldwide international bestsellers. You might have heard of some of these. I hope you have. Power of 8, The Field, big one, The Intention Experiment, The Bond, all considered what they call seminal books of the new science and are now translated into some 30 languages. Now, I just want to stop there before we go any more in a bio. Lynn is, I consider her the pioneer of something that today is literally bursting out. It's not just the rage. It's not just the subject. something that has now been started to be proven with experiments, and she started it, as far as I'm concerned, the idea of coherence group to group. She was doing experiments with large groups of people in different countries. Mm-hmm. Now we're starting to measure this. So when we talk about the field, when we talk about coherence and heart mm-hmm. math and all the things that have happened in these last, I say, decade or so, Lynn is the one that I think of who literally was first. Mm-hmm. And so this makes us very excited to have her.
I know. And because of all of that, Lynn has got so many names that people have called her. And here are just a few, which I love. Metaphysical rock star, the Madonna of the quantum world, the Malcolm Gladwell of New Science, and my favorite is the Dalai Lama. And now she's been consistently voted one of the world's top 100 spiritual leaders for groundbreaking work with consciousness and the power of intention.
Lynn is known for the quality of her writing and in-depth research, her inspirational speaking style, and her uncompromising role as New Thought leader and spiritual change agent. Mm-hmm. This is that really puts it mildly. Lynn, I want to, and welcome to our program. I'm going to turn it over to you. And one of the first things I'm going to ask is like, wow, how did all this start with you and happen? And then I know we don't have much time. And then you can go on to some of the more current things that you're in.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Monica and Lee, for that wonderful introduction. I got hijacked into this work. That's the only thing I can really say. I am an investigative reporter by training, and it really started, my work in this area started in the mid-90s. I am also co-editor and co-founder of a magazine called What Doctors Don't Tell You. And there I was in the mid-90s, looking at medicine and what works and what doesn't work in conventional and alternative medicine. And that required looking through a lot of scientific studies. And when I was doing that, I kept coming across these really good studies of a spiritual healing. And I kept thinking to myself, well, how can that be? How can you take a thought and send it to someone else and make them better? That in itself undermines everything we think about how the world works. So, you know, journalists are curious, and I was curious about this, but I really didn't even know what I was looking for. So I convinced my publishers to let me go on a journey, you know, a journey without a compass. And I thought, you know, I'll find out that there is such a thing as human energy fields or something like that if I talk to all of these researchers, these pioneers in consciousness and in quantum physics. So I talked to many of them, and from one to the other, you know, being a journalist is like pulling on a long ball of string. And as I did, I quickly realized that I'd stumbled onto a new science in the making, a completely new view of us and a new view of the world. So I kept following that, and I talked to many of these scientists. And the weird thing about quantum physicists and consciousness researchers are two things. One, they talk in kind of a code. They talk in math. And so they need to be decoded. And also, they don't like to extend beyond their own experiential work, their own experimental work. They don't want to speculate about what this all means. So I realized that was going to have to fall to me. So I was patiently tutored in quantum physics by these guys and women, and that became my book, The Field. But there was a lot of unfinished business as far as I was concerned, which was a lot of experimental evidence showing that thoughts are an actual something with the capacity to change physical matter. So the journalist in me, the skeptic in me, the doubting Thomas in me, was basically saying, yeah, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a tiny subtle effect like moving a quantum particle, or are we talking about curing cancer with your thoughts? And it started out really as a correction, this work, the intention experiment, because there have been a lot of things written about, you know, in the movie The Secret and lots of things that were presenting this in a very simple way, which was wonderful. to acquaint people to the whole idea about the law of attraction. But I felt there needed to be more. So I decided to set up a thing called the intention experiment. And it was a kind of a crazy whim. I thought I'll do a book, which will also be an invitation to my audiences to take part in these ongoing experiments. Because I figured, well, the field was in 30 languages by then. So I thought, well, I've got some readers out there. And I also know a lot of scientists working in consciousness research. So if I put them together, I'll have the biggest global laboratory in the world. So that's what we did. And they, you know, we started off really small with seeds and leaves and, you know, trying to shift water and make it more pure. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to work, but it really worked. I mean, we've done everything from those kinds of experiments to lowering violence in war-torn areas, to trying to heal someone of post-traumatic stress disorder, to trying to end polarization in areas. And of our 36 experiments we've done to date, 32 have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects. I mean, there's no drug out there with that kind of consistent track record. So that was pretty interesting. But what was starting to shock me, particularly when we started doing these peace intention experiments, trying to lower violence, I decided to survey the participants just to see what kind of experience they had and if there were any after effects. And I was stunned to find out they were writing back extraordinary things. They were talking about making up with estranged relatives. They were saying that since the experiment, they were getting along better with their coworkers or their bosses, or they had forgiven their children. You know, their lives were becoming more peaceful. But the biggest result was really weird. About 40% said they were getting along better with everyone they came in contact with. They were more in love with strangers, basically. You know, I was just bowled over by this. I didn't know what to think of it, but I kept studying it because I kept surveying people whenever we would run an experiment to see if it was, as I thought, this bizarre mirror effect. So it was around, the intention experiments started around 2007. And I decided about a year later, well, maybe we should scale this down to a workshop. But I wasn't really sure what to do. You know, I'm a journalist. I never put forward that I'm a healer. So I wasn't really sure what to do. So I was kicking it around with my husband one day. And I turned to him and said, oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll just put people in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge. And he is also a journalist and a very good headline writer. And he said, I love it, the power of eight. And that's how we started. We had this first workshop, put people in groups of eight or so. We didn't expect it to be anything more than a nice little feel-good effect. And lo and behold, when we had people come back the next day after this group situation, they came back and reported all of the recipients. You know, I have migraines every day of my life and they're clear today. I'm walking with a terrible limp. I have terrible arthritis in one knee and it's feeling normal. I'm walking normally down. I'm skipping down the steps. Somebody else had terrible gut problems and they were gone. Somebody else had cataracts and they were 80% better. So I'm thinking to myself, what on earth is going on here? And I also was very skeptical about it. I thought, oh, well, this is just a placebo effect. But the more I ran it, the more I found people who had never done this before, even the senders themselves were getting healed. And I'll tell you both about an amazing thing that happened last summer, when I think the last summer we were able to do a talk in person, which I guess is about a year and a half ago. So I was speaking in front of a group of about 700. And there I had everybody put into groups, as I always do, after I finished talking. I say, okay, let's experience this. So I put people into groups of eight or so, had them send healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge. And after this kind of experience, I always ask people to raise their hand and tell us if they've experienced any kind of change. So we had some amazing stories of people with terrible pain being, you know, the pain being relieved, and people with other conditions feeling that they were better, headache gone, those kinds of things. So the last, when I asked for one more, there were a group sitting in the front and they were all pointing to one woman. And there she was. And she was in, her name is Maya, I later learned, and she was sitting in a wheelchair. She was paralyzed from the neck down. And they said, you've got to have her talk. And they wanted to try to help her to stand because people were standing to do their talk. And she said, I don't need you. And she got up out of her wheelchair.
Oh, my God.
And I know. It was amazing. And we have it on film because the whole conference was being filmed. And I was so blown away by this that I actually called her afterward and had a Zoom conversation with her to say, Maya, what was that? How did that feel? And are you still, you know, okay? Are you still walking, et cetera? And she had had this really weird idiopathic paralysis that would come and go and had mostly come in the time before she had this intention. But she said there was something really weird that happened. She felt more love than she'd ever felt in her life from this group of strangers sending her intention. So she said it was almost too much for me. So she sent it on to a relative of hers who had cancer. And it was that moment, she said, and this was so interesting to me, that moment when she passed it on, that altruistic moment, that she felt the wheels of her wheelchair going through the floor, as she described it. And I think that was a really key piece. Two things that she said that are really key in the work that I've done to try to understand this phenomenon. Because, you know, the journalist in me, the skeptic in me, it keeps saying, what's going on here? Exactly why can we heal people in an instant like this? Because I've seen it now thousands of times. And I think she hit on a really key piece, which is that feeling of overwhelming love. And I think it's something even beyond that. You know, we may feel love in our life, but number one, these are a group of strangers she's never seen before. Number two, she's experiencing love, but she's also experiencing a state of oneness. And I think, you know, as the work I've done and researched, demonstrates, you know, we have a perception of ourselves as a separate entity in a lonely planet, in a lonely universe. That is our understanding of what it is to be human. But when you look at the new science, it's very, very different. What we see is that we're actually all connected. Now, lots of people go, yeah, we're all connected, man. But what we're talking about is actually we are connected. We are connected through our subatomic particles. You know, we are at our most elemental, not a lot of electrical signaling and chemistry. We are subatomic particles that are pure energy. They're vibrating packets of energy. And they trade energy with other subatomic particles, like an ongoing game of tennis. And what this gives rise to is an enormous energy dense field. Now, this is so energy dense that the energy between me and you, if you were sitting about 1 yard away from me, would be enough to boil all the oceans of the world. That's how much energy is going on here, out there in empty space, like some supercharged backdrop. So what we understand is we are really all connected. And subatomic particles are a very interesting phenomenon because, number one, they go on to infinity. And they also can take on an infinite amount of information. You know, if you wanted to put the Library of Congress on a sugar cube, you could do so if they were all quantum waves. That's how big and energy dense this field is. But quantum waves go on to infinity. They can also take on information from other quantum waves or particles. They're two sides of the same coin. And that means that they have an infinite capacity to store information. So many scientists believe that this field out there, that energy-dense quantum field, is like a mothership of all information. And that through this, we are all connected. Through our subatomic particles, through that endless game of tennis, we are all connected. But we don't get to experience that. But what I've seen over and over and over again is that we do get to experience this with a power of eight group. That's where we see it. So what I find, and what we've studied with brainwave studies, is when people get into a small group with group intention, people leave their own individuality and they enter a state of oneness. Now, I've seen that in brainwave studies that we did. I was very lucky. Life University, the largest chiropractic university in the world, offered to put their neuroscientists at my disposal. So we gathered together some student volunteers, seven groups of student volunteers. We put them in groups. We put an EEG cap to measure brain waves on one of each member of the group, of each group. And then afterward, we looked at them. And the neuroscientist who ran the study, Dr. Stephanie Sullivan, was amazed, as was I, because she was convinced she was going to see brainwave signatures identical to meditation. But that's not what happened. What happened was she found a global quieting of certain portions of the brain on the right side. The parietal lobes, and now you can see me here, this is where the parietal lobes are. They help us navigate through space. They tell us what's me and what's not me. And they were dialed way down, as were the parts of the brain, the right frontal lobes, involved with worry, doubt, negativity. They were dialed way down. And these brainwave signatures, although nothing like meditation, were everything. Like they're almost identical to University of Pennsylvania studies of Sufi masters during chanting and Buddhist monks during ecstatic prayer. These people, these students we were testing, these novices, pure novices, were in a state of ecstatic oneness. But here was the really interesting piece as far as I was concerned. You know, when we think about a mystical experience, a state of oneness, we think you got to suffer to do it. You know, you got to go into a sweat lodge or walk over hot coals or, you know, spend years in dedicated practice, or you have to spend hours going into a certain kind of priming to get into that state. My students were complete novices who'd never even meditated before. And after they had some basic instruction from me, and that was it, nevertheless, they entered a state of incredible oneness. And when I have looked afterward, talking to people who are in power bait groups about their experience in it, overwhelmingly, they describe what many people, like the psychologist Andrew Abraham Maslow, described as peak experiences, feelings of overwhelming sense of oneness, of being, of, you know, physical changes, being really out of your body, a sense of a kind of blinding epiphany of meaning. You suddenly understand what the world, you know, what the world means. a sense of rejuvenation, you know, of falling back in love with your life, and much, much more. And my students, my Power of Eight groups, were experiencing all of these. And so I realized that the Power of Eight, you know, you don't need a sweat lodge. You don't need hours of priming. All you need is a group and a common intention. And it's a passport, a fast track to the miraculous.
That is amazing. And I know that there are people watching right now, and their question is this: how do I get into one of those Power of Eight groups?
That's right. Right. What's next for them?
Okay, fantastic. Well, it takes a bit of practice, but not a huge amount, to learn how to be an intention master. It doesn't take, you know, years of dedication, but you do need to know what I consider to be 13 keys of intention mastery. And you need to assemble a group. But here's the cliff notes for it. These are the simple ways to do this. You need to assemble a group. You need to come up with a common intention. And you all, if you're in present together, can hold hands. Somebody says the intention out loud. Everybody brings it down to their hearts. Everybody visualizes the recipient achieving that goal, whatever it is, with their five senses, and send it out. The recipient just opens up to his heart to receive. 10 minutes, you hold that intention, holding those thoughts together. Now, that's the simple basis of it. But, and you can set these up in person, or you can set them up virtually. I have a place on my website, my community site, where thousands of people are setting up their own groups. They can do it on our community page at lynnmctaggart.com. They can do it on a Facebook page I set up during COVID last year called Connecting and Healing Through the Power of Eight to get people together, you know, during that crisis, because I realized so many people were alone. Now, here's the great thing about it. It works just as well virtually. And that's what I do on my courses. Invariably, I put people into groups. For instance, I run a year-long masterclass called the Power of Eight Intention Masterclass, where I teach for 6 weeks, and then I put people into groups. And I monitor what goes on with them for a whole year. And what we've found is it's all about meeting in the groups regularly. For those people who meet regularly, week after week after week, pretty much 100% experience transformations, major transformations in their lives, whether it is their health or their career or finances, their relationships, even their life's purpose. You know, I'll give you an example from our last one. We did, you know, we just finished the 2020 class in January of 2021 before kicking off with the new one in February. And the 2020 class, we had some amazing stories. We had one woman who was addicted to sugar, and so badly that she would get up in the middle of the night and binge, and then be really tired and sleep all morning and get up in the afternoon. So this was affecting her health and her marriage. So her group really intended for her to, you know, to let go of her addiction. She did. She's lost a whole lot of weight. She started exercising. She started meditating. Her relationship with her husband is vastly improved. And she said, this is about the best time of her life. And she had that amazing support of the group, which I think is another key piece. I think that's what's so amazing. We had another guy who had terrible chronic fatigue, healed and has gone back to work. Had another woman who was addicted to antidepressants for 22 years. And with the help of her group and their intentions, got off of her drugs, had never been able to do that, even when she tried to lower the dosage. And, you know, on and on, other people finding their dream home. One of my favorite, Joy, asked the group to do an intention to open her heart and, you know, to love. And lo and behold, after they do the intention for her, a boyfriend of hers from 30 years ago calls her up, and they're now madly in love and have got back together. It's so cute. So we've seen all of these kinds of things, but they are with, it's all about the week after week connection. So, you know, I think to myself, well, what's going on here really? And I think it's a combination. There is, of course, the power of intention. It's extraordinary. You know, it's true. Your thoughts are things that affect other things. There's no question. Thoughts are medicine. You know, new studies of the placebo effect show that even when somebody knows they're getting a placebo, as long as the doctor tells them this is going to work for you, it does. Now, what is that? That's a thought that got them better. They found all of enormous brain changes. Every part of the brain involved with pain changes when you take a placebo for pain medication, you know, a sugar pill. So thoughts are, you know, thoughts are powerful, no question. But then we also have the group effect. Groups have a kind of amazing dynamic, you know, a collective effervescence, as a noted psychologist called them. There's also altruism, a huge, huge piece. You know, when I study the science of altruism, it demonstrates that altruism is like a bulletproof vest. You know, we are healthier, happier, and live longer lives with altruistic behavior. And this, a Power of Eight group, is altruistic because 7/8 of the time, you're doing the giving, not the receiving. But I see over and over again, people who are stuck, when I say to them, get off of yourself. Stop intending for yourself and intend for someone else. That's the moment they change. I think of Lisa, who was stuck.
This is awesome. We are, believe it or not, almost out of time. You have just reinforced almost everybody who's been on this program who basically said that the healing that they're after is almost a side effect of the consciousness that starts it. And I'm sorry I interrupted you in the process of your closing there. It's just that I don't want to miss this part. Do you have something to give our folks as far as your website or some things that are happening?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lee. Yes, well, we continue to run intention experiments, and the latest ones we've done are ending polarization. We've been doing some with Arabs and Israelis, and most recently Republicans and Democrats, right before the American inauguration. So you can take part in our intention experiments on our website, lynnmctaggart.com. Plus, we're running a number of new courses, one just for practitioners called Become a Better Healer with the Power of Eight, because practitioners don't realize it. Thoughts are everything when it comes to healing, not only your patients, but yours and your words that you use. So I work on that, and as well as showing how to do Power of Eight groups. And we've got an amazing new course called Intention Mastery, Backward and Forward in Time, because I've been doing a lot of intention out of time, both healing the past and designing the future. Everything is on lynnmctaggart.com. You can check it out.
Oh, awesome. Fabulous. We just love everything you have said. Yeah. You are looking so vibrant. You are walking your truth and guiding. It's so simple. That's what I love about what you have to offer. It's so simple. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and I encourage you, go and check out her website, lynnmctaggart.com. See you soon.
Lynn,
thank
so
you.
Much. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you enjoyed your break. I always say that. I know they do. I want to, just before we begin the Circle of 12 and the meditation, again, I want to reflect on the profundity of what Lynn McTaggart has done on this planet. She was a forerunner as far as, I said that before, but I'll say it again, of all of these things which are now being scientifically proven. Thank you, Lynn, once again for who you are.
Absolutely. Power of eight. What a beautiful, beautiful concept. And so many are being healed. So healing has many shapes and forms. Again, I love your answer to the questions earlier about being discouraged and being open to compassion. Compassion was what generates the healing. And so I'd like us to now move into the short meditation before the circle of 12. However, this time, as we prepare to enter the circle of 12, let us begin by giving some statements of intent. I will say each intent three times, and you are invited to say them silently or aloud. I release all expectations, and I am willing to be open to the energy of compassion in my life. I release all expectations, and I am willing to be open to the energy of compassion in my life. I release all expectations, and I am willing to be open to the energy of compassion in my life. I accept the perfect love of God. I accept the perfect love of God. I accept the perfect love of God. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I am ready.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon. Come a little closer. You're going to hear that expression many times. It's not an expression that I used necessarily in the last 30 years. It's new because this is a new energy. And the energy that is new is an invitation. An invitation energy to discover that you're really truly made up of. And in order to do that, the metaphor is to come closer to the other side of the veil. There are many who have asked, well, Kryon, who really truly are you? Are you a human? Are you somebody who used to be a human? And what is the energy of Kryon? It's an intellectual pursuit, dear ones, for you to try to understand and figure out an angelic energy. That is who Kryon is, if you even use the word who. It is the 3D of you who wants to identify in three dimensions everything that is. Who is God? The very question would make you logically say, well, if you say who is God and give an explanation, will you say, well, then who is next to God? It's a very 3D question. The energy of the other side of the veil is one energy. All of us who give you messages of any kind, especially those who have never been human here on this planet, bring to you the same energy. It's the same energy from the creative source. Indeed, if you want to call it angelic, do so. For that is the definition for some of you of compassion and love, understanding. And that's what sits before you now. I'm Kryon. But in that, not just one entity, I represent the multitudes. The energy of the other side of the veil when it looks upon you and knows your name. I represent every healing that has ever occurred on the planet. I represent every epiphany that has ever occurred on the planet. Because when those things happen, there is a coherence. Have you heard the word before? The coherence is a mingling of consciousness. And if you wish to intellectualize it, you will not understand it. Mingling of consciousness is what you feel when you're in love. It's the best example I can give you. Those who have fallen in love, as they say, have fallen together into coherence. And what they think about each other often is the same thing. One will have a thought, the other one is thinking it. A coherence of compassionate love. The mother who looks in the eyes of her child for the first time at birth. The welcome to earth moment. The love, the compassion that cannot be described. There is a coherence immediately between the mother and the child breathing the same air in the same space. As one. This is when the magic happens, when you cross the bridge. Now, there have been those who would say, well, I'm not feeling that magic yet. It's a setup, isn't it? Indeed, a 3D moment when we're on one side of the bridge, then we cross the bridge and we're in the portal. A 3D moment meaning there's the A and there's the B, there's a crossing, there's not the crossing. And you expect that when you go through the mist, everything will change. Perhaps this is the first time I have said it. Why not do that now? Why not cross the bridge in your mind before you do it in 3D? Why not drop into your heart at the moment and just sit and think to yourself, this is a magic time and a magic place. I deserve to be here, and you do. You've given some affirmations a moment ago. Truly, that's what they were. Permission you've given. If you said the words, you know where we're going. It's your willingness to think out of the box. It's your willingness to not be then focused or connected to one certain thing that you've come for. But rather to think, what if all of me is going to change? What if I could have coherence, you might say, with the other side of the veil? And if you have thought of that, then I don't have to tell you anything more, because that is Healing Wednesday. It is when you develop a coherence with your soul, the bridge you cross becomes something that you are. Kryon, what do you mean by such a statement? How can the bridge become something we are? What if there were no bridge? If you wake up in the morning, what if you're in the portal and you're also on the planet? If you have that experience, dear ones, you are in coherence with your soul. And that is the goal. That someday, when these programs are not produced as they are now, you still have the experience of crossing the bridge. And that can simply be all the time, even when you sleep, because that is who you are. It's more than a change of life. It's a paradigm change of your existence. When you change your mind and a paradigm of who you are then moves away, you change perhaps what you do for a living because you're no longer happy with one thing and you do something else, or you have an epiphany of consciousness that says, well, I want to help people more or do something like that. Do you understand just how remarkable that is? It's like you move to another layer and your reality is different. How many of you have looked back on your life and said, that's not me? And I'm not talking about looking at yourself when you were, for instance, in school. I'm talking about as an adult. 10 years ago, maybe less. And you look back and you say, that is not me. I am different now. I think different. I act different. I am different. Some of you have even changed your name. You're so different. That is a change of coherence. You are now resonating at a higher level with the other side of the veil. You've crossed a bridge. Let's do that. Let's do that now for all of you. We'll do it again in what you will call 3D, and I will walk you through the potentials. But here's an invitation. Why not do it before you cross the mist? What if the mist simply was a demarcation point so that you can feel a 3D journey is at hand? But in reality, you're already there. Let's go. Come to the bridge with me right now, as you do every single time. If you're new to this, there's a bridge between that which you know and that which you do not. And we're going to cross it now. And in the middle of that bridge, a mist. A mist that keeps you from seeing what's on the other side of the mist. And that is on purpose. It's not to create uncertainty or fear. It's not to create a test. It's because when you cross that mist, all of you will see or feel or experience something's different from this side. Now, for those who say, well, I have trouble feeling or seeing or all of that, I say to you right now, what if you don't need that? What if instead you simply sit and feel the incredible caring for you that the creative source has? That's all that we're asking. You go to a place that changes you. Come across the bridge with me now. To the middle of the bridge you are, the mist is there. For those of you who visualize, who see, who feel, and want to do this, come with me. Let me take your hand. And before you cross in the mist, we'll do something we've done before. All of you watching, take all of your hands. Why don't we cross together, all of you? There are a lot of you. You're going to have a lesson today in coherence. Let's go. Crossing the mist is a metaphor for going to a place without expectation. Going to a place where you're not saying, well, I'm going to go there and I'm going to a theater in the round that we always go to and I'm going to be healed there. Instead, you step into a new consciousness paradigm, where everything is so different, where every cell of your body is so different. And you float over if you wish to, or you walk over if you wish to that doorway when we're going into the theater together. We always go to this theater. It's a metaphor, dear ones. The doorway is a metaphor. It's an opening and entrance between what is and what's going to be, and you go in and you see this theater in the round. And the expectation, of course, is there's an audience or not, but the potential of one. In other words, you're going to be on stage and there's watchers or participators. That's the metaphor. It's always the same. Come with me through the door, if you wish. Down the stairs in this sunken theater of the round, up onto the stage and into this chair. We always go there, dear ones. We've said this before. The chair itself is a symbol, and it can mean so many things to so many people. If you stand and you're examined, that has a connotation of judgment, does it not? Stand and deliver is an expectation that you're going to have to do something. But when you sit down, it's comfortable. You sit down with a friend and you discuss things. You don't stand with a friend necessarily in your house for a length of time and discuss things. You sit down. In that sitting position, we've said before, it allows your feet to be washed. Hard to do when you're standing up. It's a metaphor. Relax. Sit in the chair. The audience tonight is already there. But this particular audience is different. This is an audience of those you've never met and you may not meet. It's an audience that represents those from all cultures all over the planet. Some cultures you know of, languages you've heard of, and ones you don't know of, and languages that are impossible to you. But in this multidimensional space of soul discovery, you're meeting their soul-level parts. So there are no real differences in language or even in culture, because the soul is the soul, and all souls are identical with that kernel of love and compassion at the center. All things earthly are dropped away. And you look at them and they look at you, and there is a feeling of exuberance. Truly, the audience is electric with something is coming. And then you start to feel it, and here is the invitation. I want you to have a coherence, not just with the souls of those people, but with those people, with those countries, with the fact that all of them have family, just like you. I want you to have a coherence with them, meaning a two-way feeling that they may wish to have a healing as well. It's a tough time on the planet, dear ones. It still is. There are fears and anxieties. Question: if two groups of people are in coherence together, have you learned that it starts to lessen the fear, make it less? Have you learned what else happens? That there is far more compassion and love in a coherence than anything else. It's required. That's the energy that creates coherence, heartfelt energy that passes between souls, between those of consciousness. Science is starting to show this is real. I want you to sit right now, not just in coherence with the rest of those in this program, but with the planet. Is that too much to ask? They have souls just like you do. Don't mind that there's so many of them. It's meaningless. Think of them as one coherent group. And you step into their group and they welcome you. And they say to you, you are as loved as we are. And then they remind you that the more you can have this wonderful singularity, coherence with the other side of the veil and your soul energy, the more that happens, the more the 3D experience is translated right to your cells, and the healing that you came for comes with it. Are you understanding this? You practice a coherence with everyone around you, even stretching across the oceans, and you will find you are dearly loved. Go from this place with peace and that which you came for. And so it is.